folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, aka Beck. As always, we love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Right along, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. It's hard to believe that June is here, but I wanted to bring this up. Did you know June is National Get Outdoors Month? So with that being the topic, I wanted to remind all of you about the Every Kid Outdoors Program. The Every Kid Outdoors Program, it grants U.S. fourth grade students and their families free entry to over 2,000 federal recreation sites and national parks for an entire year.
You did this with your nephews, right?
Yes.
So it was definitely worth it. You saved some bucks.
And that is one of the reasons why, for those of you that are new to the show, when my nephews or nieces, they hit a certain age, which is right around that fourth grade age, they get to go on an adventure with Aunt Beck. And yes, I've taken them to Rocky Mountain National Park, to Zion. It works as slick as can be. All you have to go to is everykidoutdoors.gov, and the site is super easy. You complete a short educational activity and you get a printable voucher. Make sure you print it out, because you must print a physical paper copy of the voucher. Electronic versions, they're just not accepted everywhere. So I'm going to tell you firsthand, I've been there, done that, have it printed out. And then when you go to your first national park, make sure that fourth grader is with you, because they'll ask him or her what age you are, and then you'll get a physical pass, which is just like a little credit card, but then you'll have that. And who is covered? Well, the student, of course. The student must be either going into fourth grade or having just completed fourth grade. But what's awesome is this covers everyone in the vehicle, including the owner and the passengers. It's as long as it's a single private non-commercial vehicle. Of course, this is, you know, this isn't for...
You can't go in with a stock trailer full of kids is what you're saying.
Right.
Well, technically you could if they were all fourth graders.
Yes.
So technically you could load up the trailer full of kids and go to the state park.
But this, it just covers the entry into the park. It does not cover any of, say, you're going to go camping, boat rentals, special guided tours. Those, of course, are all add-ins or add-ons.
And does it work all summer long, or does it just work for one park?
No, it works all summer long.
All summer. So you just do this once and you're done.
Yes, that's what's awesome about this. So if you get it now, you can go to all the different national parks, monuments, and hey, who doesn't want to save a little money now and then? Now let's jump into the news. Country music star Cody Johnson is responding to criticism after sharing photos from a recent grizzly bear hunt in Alaska, a trip he took following a year filled with career milestones and major award wins. The hunt quickly sparked debate online. While some fans congratulated Johnson and praised the experience, others, of course, criticized the decision to hunt a grizzly bear and questioned whether it was necessary.
It was necessary.
Some commentators expressed discomfort with seeing photos of the harvested animal, while others challenged the ethics of bear hunting altogether. Johnson says the hunt was conducted legally and under Alaska's wildlife management regulations. In a recent interview, he emphasized that the trip was about more than recreation, describing it as part of a broader conservation effort. According to Johnson, wildlife managers in Alaska closely monitor predator and prey populations. He noted that the grizzly bears can have a significant impact on moose and caribou calves, killing 120 to 150 calves per year, and that regulated hunting is one of the tools used to help maintain balance within the ecosystem. Supporters of the hunt echoed that point, noting that hunting licenses, permits, and fees help fund wildlife conservation programs, habitat restoration projects, and scientific research across the state. Johnson also addressed what he sees as a contradiction among some critics. He argued that many people who object to hunting still consume meat, but are removed from the process of harvesting animals themselves, like those that like their Chick-fil-A. The controversy highlights a long-running national conversation about hunting and wildlife management. Supporters view regulated hunting as an important conservation tool and a way to responsibly source food. Opponents argue that animals, particularly large predators like bears, should not be hunted except in the most limited circumstances. For Johnson, however, the Alaska trip remains a source of pride. He says the hunt was legal, conservation-minded, and rooted in traditions that many hunters believe contribute to the long-term health of wildlife populations. As the online debate continues, the story serves as another reminder of how differently Americans view the relationship between people, wildlife, and conservation.
Oh, are you ready for me to jump in on this?
I am ready.
No, I'm going to be fair about this. Everybody knows which side I'm going to take, of course. But I really can't see the side of opposition to the hunt when it was legal, when only so many licenses are going to be given out, and that's based on keeping a very delicate balance of the ecosystem.
Agreed.
That's conservation.
Absolutely. And the way I see this is I like how he kind of hit on how people are removed so many degrees about where their food comes from.
That was a very good point that it brings up. And I guarantee that Cody Johnson is going to be one of those where if you don't like it, don't follow me on social media.
Exactly.
Don't come to a concert. Don't buy my music. It ain't going to bother me one way and a different. So good for him.
All I can say is Cody Johnson, I think we're in the same lane. Now heading to Idaho, where they have approved sweeping new hunting regulations aimed at limiting the use of advanced technology in the field, part of a broader effort to reinforce traditional fair chase principles in hunting. Governor Brad Little signed the new law in April, and it takes effect this summer. Under the regulations, hunters will be prohibited from using transmitting trail cameras, drones, thermal imaging devices, and night vision equipment to hunt or scout big game and upland birds on public lands between late August and the end of December. The law marks a major shift for Idaho, which previously had few restrictions on technology such as thermal optics for hunting deer and elk. Supporters say rapid advances in technology, including cheaper thermal devices and satellite-connected trail cameras, give hunters an unfair advantage and could undermine public trust in wildlife management. The restrictions apply specifically to public lands and seasonal hunting activity. Hunters will still be allowed to use cell-enabled trail cameras during spring bear season, and exemptions remain for predator hunting, including wolves and mountain lions. The law also allows technology to be used when recovering wounded animals. Conservation groups and wildlife advocates say the debate over hunting technology has been building for years. Supporters of the measure argue that devices capable of transmitting real-time wildlife images from remote wilderness areas could shift hunting away from traditional skills and toward expensive technology available only to wealthier hunters. The final law is considered a compromise after extensive negotiations among hunters, wildlife managers, and lawmakers. Idaho officials say the regulations will likely continue evolving as the state addresses enforcement challenges and changing technology.
So I'm going to throw this one at you because I have not had the pleasure or opportunity to use thermal or anything like that. I'd really like to. I think it'd be cool. But your thoughts on this?
Oh, boy.
This is an interesting topic when you say that. Does it take away from maybe traditional hunting practices?
Considering you do know that I am somebody that has some high-end scopes, night forces and such on my rifles, I will say...
Yeah, how come I don't have all of those on mine? I mean, let's be honest about this. On one of my rifles, I have a Barska scope, $49.95 from Walmart.
You don't want to know
shook
how,
about that.
And you don't want to know how much I've got invested in scopes.
I do
there.
Know how much you have invested in scopes.
The thing is though, even though I have some of these higher end tools, I'm going to call them, you know that I'm quite the traditionalist though at the same time. I'm not always dialing my scope in with windage meters. I'm not actually using all of the bells and whistles that
don't have thermal or anything like that.
No, I don't.
Yep.
We don't have
trail cams up anywhere.
I do not hunt with thermal. I do not use trail cams. I do also believe in understanding yardage from your own standpoint. Now, do I have a nice pair of binoculars that have a rangefinder in them? Yes, I do.
But I don't think that's considered the high technology.
Correct. That's what I'm saying is I'm still more of a traditionalist where Tigger has been hunting with me. I still believe in knowing your distances on your own. I'll maybe use these, say like a rangefinder just to get myself back in check. So I know that's 100 yards, that's 200, that's, you know, 450. But when it comes to thermal, when it comes to satellite technologies, I'm kind of leaning towards more the traditionalist side because let's be real, you can spend as much money as you want hunting, but at the end of the day, I look back at my dad, my grandfather, look what they were able to shoot for
trophies.
They
didn't even have camo, they had flannel.
And you've seen me myself, when you get into camo, I've taken some of my largest prizes not dressed in camo.
Yeah, in flannel, in a pair of Carhartts. Here's my thoughts on this, because I have zero experience with this type of technology. I would love to, but I have zero experience when it's appropriate.
You know, the thing is to keep in mind, too, is I don't mind that they're looking at and putting in some restrictions because they're talking right now about public lands. And when I think about public lands and people going and putting out trail cams and using some of the devices, then I feel like that's public.
That's opening up a whole nother debate.
Correct, correct. And where you and I hunt is private land.
And if we had live phone lines that we could take phone calls, they would be lit up right now, both sides of the coin. So I can appreciate what you're saying about using traditional means and skills you learned from your dad. He learned from his dad. I totally respect that. I think technology when it's appropriate.
There you have it. On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. We'll be back with more of The Ben Show right after this.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Well, look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Corn Belt Classic is coming up June 16th through the 18th, followed by the Week in the Rockies sale. To consign to the Week in the Rockies sale, cattle need to be cataloged by June 19th, and videos need to be submitted by June 26th. Again, June 19th for the catalog and June 26th for the videos to consign to the Week in the Rockies sale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Bag, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. If you haven't figured it out, we are covering a lot of controversial topics in this show today, so do not hesitate. We'd love to hear from you. You can call or text us at 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email us at benradioshow@gmail.com. All right, our next topic takes us to Wyoming, where a dad was ticketed after son picks up GPS-tracked elk antler. Listen to this. As shed hunting becomes more popular across the western U.S., concerns about trespassing are also increasing, prompting some landowners to try unusual enforcement tactics. In one recent Wyoming case reported by Cowboy State Daily, a ranch owner dealing with repeated trespassing agreed to let game wardens place elk antlers fitted with tracking devices around private property. One of those antlers was later picked up by a 7-year-old boy, leading to a trespassing citation for his father. The operation took place on the LU Ranch in Hot Springs County, Wyoming. The boy's father, Miles Galvich, received a citation on April 19, 2026, after authorities tracked the antler back to his home. The Galvich family owns neighboring property near the ranch, where public and private lands are closely mixed together. The family also reportedly has legal access to a road crossing the LU ranch and nearby public land, according to the report. Ranch owners had allegedly asked Wyoming game wardens to distribute the GPS-equipped elk sheds around their property in response to ongoing trespassing concerns from shed hunters. According to Outdoor Life, Miles Galevich said he and his son believed they were near public land when the boy spotted the antler about 20 yards off the road. After the child picked it up and brought it home, game wardens later arrived and issued Galevich a trespassing citation. The antler was returned to authorities. Galevich argued the area was not clearly marked or fenced and said the situation feels kind of like entrapment.
Ooh.
Court records show he could face fines up to $1,000 and potentially lose hunting and fishing privileges. Now, he did have a hearing back on May 15th, but at this time I've not heard the final decision.
Okay. Are you ready for me to weigh in on this one?
I'm ready because I got my thoughts.
I'm gonna look back on your story. Here's where it said that the family had owns neighboring property near the ranch. Okay, and he argued that the area was not clearly marked or fenced. If you own neighboring property, I guarantee you're gonna know which property is yours and which isn't. So I don't think he's got a leg to stand on with that argument.
Exactly.
Ooh, I'm
exactly.
Good.
That's how I feel, because especially when you see it's neighboring property, don't start there. You know where your property starts.
You're darn
and
right
ends.
You do. You absolutely right you do.
And then on top of it, if your child picks up something with a GPS tracker on it, I mean, come on, don't be that guy. You don't take it home, right? Or if he did bring it home, you quickly go and return it to where it was.
But this opens up a whole nother topic. I mean, everything you've been bringing up so far this show has been very controversial, because there are a lot of hunters, outdoors enthusiasts that feel that there is not enough public land for them to partake in said activity.
I agree.
That doesn't mean you can trespass on my outfit.
That is a hot topic, but then that's where you have to look at yourself. And I mean, we use Onyx. They're not a sponsor, but let's be real. You can go online and usually typically find out real quick who owns what land, who doesn't, and what land is public land.
Exactly.
So I feel like, I don't feel like this was entrapment whatsoever.
I don't either. I do believe that this guy, and this is just my opinion, but I do believe he knew exactly where the boundaries were 100%, especially when it's neighboring land. But this brings up the topic that we discuss all the time, which is about establishing relationships with landowners. And that
yes.
takes time to cultivate.
And especially when you're in a neighborhood and you're in a neighborhood that is a backcountry, believe me, you need to rely on your neighbors. It is better to be on good terms than bad. Things can go south really fast. So I think there's more to this story than not.
Do you want to give the phone number again and let people call in and weigh in on these? Because these are great topics you're bringing
up. I do. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Call or text me at 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can email bendradioshow@gmail.com. You know what, crew? I think it's time we take a quick break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist. If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair, and he's sitting here with his hand in the air. Tigger, what do you got for me?
I didn't get a chance to ask you this question, but we were talking about, just before the break in that last story, about establishing relationships with landowners and all those sorts of things. So let me ask you this question. Since you are a landowner, I am a landowner, you are a hunter, I am a hunter. What is the proper way, in your opinion, to, or for somebody to go about establishing a relationship with a landowner for the possibility of being able to hunt, be it deer, be it pheasants, maybe fish in that pond? I don't know.
Oh, this is a great topic. I like it when you go down this road.
I'm just curious of what you think is the proper way.
Okay, well, I'm not the end-all be-all on the proper way.
No, but you're a landowner, and you've been in this situation.
I have been in this situation more than I care to be in this situation. And what I'm going to say is, waiting until hunting season opens, you're too late to the party.
Oh, that's
now
a good one.
Now is when you should be building that relationship with said landowner, because it's give and take. Too often I've seen individuals wait until said season that they're looking to get out hunting in, and that's when they come knocking on the door or calling, you know, our cell phone numbers. You can get all that information looking to hunt. Really, you should be smart. You should be proactive. And now is when you should be building that relationship and thinking in your head. Think in your head, what can you do for that landowner that they will realize as a value and allow you to come hunting? For example, so our family is very tight. We don't let really any outdoor hunt outside of our family and friends hunt. Those friends that get to hunt, they're out helping us now. They might have helped us with branding. They may be helping us with haying. They may be helping us fix fence. You see how I'm going? There's some give and take, which builds, how do I want to put
trust?
That? Trust, exactly. Because that's the thing. People sometimes forget that those of us as landowners, we have a lot on the line owning that land.
So can I offer what my family has done before?
Yes.
I agree with you 1,000% that if you wait till opening day, you are so late to the party, because same way with our family, it's already spoken for. It's
correct.
With our immediate family or our little group of friends that always hunts together. And we don't own the whole darn county, so we just have a small area, and that is reserved for us because we like to hunt. However, in the past, like when I wasn't, when I moved far away, my dad started a relationship with some people that wanted to hunt on our land, and they came in now and they offered to help, but they were avid walleye fishermen. So they said, can we trade this out? Can we give you some walleye that we caught this summer in trading to do pheasant hunting? Is it the exact situation on our place? And it was a very good relationship, and they were great people to have, and they were always harvested their limit. They were always very grateful, and they were willing to share their other types of harvest, in this case, walleye, with my folks.
That is a great example, and I was going to bring that up because there is some give and take, and there may be another species you go after, and if you can share in some of that harvest with them, or say after the season you start, you know you're going to have some extra sausage probably in
right,
your freezer right now from the previous year,
yeah.
Right? give them some now. Start building that relationship. And especially when you take the time to offer some of your vacation time to actually work on said property, that goes a long ways. That speaks volumes to that landowner. Now they feel like you're understanding why that land is so valuable to them and their family.
So here's another tactic that I would use. Maybe this is just the salesman in me, but be prepared to get 100 no's, right? I mean, get prepared. If you come up to Beck and I, we're going to say, no, I'm sorry. This is just for our immediate family. We don't let anybody else outside onto the property. Please respect those decisions. But here's a sales tactic. Don't be afraid to ask said landowner, would it be okay when I'm buzzing through the area, if I just stop in again, would that be okay? Ask permission to come back again. I personally think that that's all right.
I think it's classy.
That if they say, would it be all right if I just swing back in again? I respect your decision in this case, Beck. Could I swing back in July? I know I'm going to be through the area and I just stop in and say hello. And would that be all right?
That is a fantastic thing
to
do.
And would you be okay with that in that situation?
I would be fine with that. Just remember to stay respectful. We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending in any questions you have, concerns, your opinion on any of the topics that we've talked about today. You can do that by calling or texting 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on our website, TheBendShow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we branch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.